Welcome aboard the Fourth Watch. I am Ned Scarsbrick, el presidentor of this podcast. And what? No, I don't want to do that. Well, if I have to do that, it won't be funny anymore. Okay, so here's the deal. The official podcast observer says that I need to explain what I was talking about. My introduction was designed to be funny, a play on words. Presidentor is Spanish for host, like a TV or a radio show guy. Now, that's not very funny. Well, I know that. However, it sounds a lot like presidente, which is Spanish for president. So I was going for the dictator of a small banana republic thing. Now, Brother Ned, that's still not funny. Let me start over here. Now, el is the Spanish word for male, and la is a Spanish word for female. So if there was a female host, it would be la presidentor. And if it's me, a man, it would be el presidentor. So I know that's not very funny now, so let's go ahead and start over and see if it makes a little more sense. Welcome aboard the Fourth Watch. I am Ned Scarsbrick, el presidentor of this podcast, which is sponsored by the good people at the Fair Group, of which I am a loyal volunteer to my people. Did that make you smile? So in the future, if I use that introduction, you'll know what's what. I was just going for a light smile. Now just relax. So now, on to the podcast subject for today. See? Well, that was funny. That was a good setup for that gig. That even made you smile. That was funny. You weren't really expecting it, and it brought out a little bit of a smile. Woohoo! That's one for Brother Ned, and zip for Podcast Observer. So now let's go on to the real podcast. The Kingdom of the Cults by Dr. Walter Martin. Now that's a great hook for any book. A real grabber. So with a shock term, cult, that's what we're going to talk about today. Another great thing about the title is the author, doctor. If he's a doctor, then he must know what he's talking about, the status of authority. If we want to know who the cults are, then we need to read this book, because he must know what he's talking about. Shock terms like cult are designed to generate a strong negative emotional response. What do you think of when you hear the label cult? Yeah, that's right. The Wackos of Waco. David Koresh, the Brents Davidian, Jim Jones, and getting their believers to drink the Kool-Aid. So if you label some person or group a cult and you get it to stick, you have discredited any serious dialogue because he, she, or them are just some wackos out weirdos. You can't reason with cultists. Here's a good one. The Cancerous Cult of Calvinism by Dr. Anthony Jones. Anthony Jones? Who's that? I don't know. I just made it up. Sounds good, though. Do you feel a shock when I articulate the term cult with Calvinism? Calvinism is now bad, it's terrible, it's horrible, it's evil. That's what some want to label the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints as, the Mormons, the cult of Mormonism. We're talking about Mormonism here, not Christianity. Mormons don't believe in the real Jesus. They don't accept the essentials of the historic Christian faith. Let's see now, essentials. Well, that's good. You can't be against that. Historic. Well, if it's historic, then it must be true. You can't be against that either. So I guess the Mormons must be a cult because they're against the essentials of the historic Christian faith. Now, obviously, the terms essential and historic are not shock terms, but they do represent an attempt to establish truth. Who decides what you say are the essentials? Now you're attacking me. No, I'm not. I just want to know where you get the authority to decide what the essentials are and where do they come from. Well, the Bible. Okay. Where does it list what you are saying are the essentials and what are the non-essentials? You know, the doctrines of the church. Uh-oh, we got a problem here. Well, you just don't understand the truth when you read it. Okay, so show me the list. They can't show you the list because there isn't one. Now, let's go back to the term cult. You Mormons believe that the only way to get into heaven is by Joseph Smith's approval. No, we don't. Yes, you do. It says so right here. And they go ahead and they read some reference where it says about Joseph Smith will approve our entrance into heaven. And then they say, well, if you need Joseph Smith's approval, I only need the approval of Jesus. You're a cult. Well, what if Joseph Smith accepts us because Jesus accepts us? Well, you don't teach that. Yes, we do. That's what I teach. I'm in the church, and I'm a Sunday school instructor. Well, that's not what I've heard. Perhaps you just have a misunderstanding about what we do teach. Perhaps we're not the cult you think we are. Well, maybe. Other shock terms. Blood oaths. Occultic ceremonies. Secret rites. We know what goes on in your Mormon temples. Oh, really? Do tell. I've seen movies that show your heathen practices. You can't fool us. We're not trying to fool anybody. Would you like me to explain these things? You'll just lie to protect your prophet master. Prophet master, oh, now there's another good shock term. Look, I'll explain all you want to know. Now, I can't use some of the temple terms because we keep them private in order to keep them sacred. However, I can explain what we do and why we do it, and I'll eat my shoe if you're not convinced what we do is all about our relationship to each other, particularly as husband and wife, and our relationship with our Father in heaven through Jesus Christ. Okay? Well, what about... And they bring something else up. Now, we have an opportunity to focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can continue to talk about the gospel. We don't need to be afraid. Shock terms need not prevent us from having an open dialogue with those not of our faith, because the shock terms aren't true. Remember 1 Peter 3:15? Be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks you, a reason for the hope that is within you. Now here's the important part. In patience and kindness for those you witness to. Now in the King James, it says meekness and fear. Now in the King James, it doesn't mean being meek and fearful the way we understand it. It means to be long-suffering, to be kind, to be patient, to take the time to explain what we're talking about. You know, I think the next time I'll discuss the cult of Calvinism. Well, is Calvinism a cult? No, he just understood the gospel a little bit different than we do. Along with Calvinism, we can also talk about Arminianism. Well, did Mormons come from Armenia? No, I'll explain it all next time. One last thing, and I'll close up shop. I'm going to get a little serious here, just for a few minutes. Not really my style, as you know. I'm more of a kind of a light, back-and-forth, banter sort of person. Like that La Bamba bit. That was funny, right? Well, ladies and gentlemen, my brothers and sisters, life's hard. So we have a couple of things that make us smile. Life's not so hard, so a little humor is a good thing. Now, let's get back to being serious here for a minute. This topic is serious and needs to be taken seriously. A long time ago in Europe, in the late 1400s, early 1500s, there lived a man by the name of Erasmus. Yeah? So what? Well, this guy was a scholar and a theologian and a Catholic priest who taught a system of Christian unity for apologetics by using reason as an essential attribute. His style came to be known as Irenicism. comes from a Greek word meaning peace, as opposed to duke-it-out argumentation. Those who affiliate themselves with Irenicism identify the importance of unity in the Christian church and declare the common bond between all Christians under Christ. Irenicism has postulated removing conflicts between different Christian creeds by the way of meditation and gradual amalgamation of theological differences. Now, Dr. Robert Millett of BYU is and continues to be a champion of Irenicism in today's world. He co-founded the Evangelical Mormon Dialogue. He received a PhD from Florida State University in Biblical Studies and Contemporary Theology and a master's degree in psychology from BYU, and has served on the BYU faculty since 1983. So he is respected, at least in LDS circles, as a voice of reason. I like that. I happen to be a fan of Bob Millett, and I really like his style. You want to impress your friends, just tell them that you're into Irenicism. Bishop, Brother Ned says he's into Irenicism, and he's going to start teaching it in church. All right, I'll talk to him again. Brother Scarsbrick, thanks for coming to see me. I've heard some stories about your new teaching and priesthood class, something called Irenicism. Is this true? Yes, it is. Now, I could blast the bishop for being so ignorant that he thought that I was teaching some new religion, trying to gain converts to the true church within the true church. But that wouldn't be in keeping with the tenets of Irenicism, would it? Let's be kind in our speech, especially to those who don't understand what we really teach. Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let us reason together. A gentle answer turneth away wrath." Proverbs 15:1. Now, no matter what side of the aisle you're on, a gentle answer turns away wrath. Does that make sense? You hear that sound? Sounds like the ways of life are calling us to get our focus back on the Savior. And as we do, He will be there for us. Thank you. I appreciate your listening.